What's up, everybody? Welcome to Howdy Radio, The Next Generation, episode 54. I'm Brandon.
I'm Lane.
And today is our best of 2019 episode. So let's get called up real quick. We haven't done this in a while. When's the last time we did this? A couple months ago.
I don't remember. Did we do it for All Out?
I don't remember.
I don't think we did. I don't think we've done an episode in a long
time. Our last episode, according to Pocket Cast, was September 29th, and that was episode 53.
So it was after All Out. Was Netflix canceled Budget Action, we see them was out, all of this. Okay.
So I don't know. So last night we did the Unknown Podcast for the first time in a while. We had pretty much all of us were able to do our top 2019 stuff. We did our playlist and everything.
Go watch that.
Yeah, when we're done here, go on YouTube and
see the same list. Watch this, then watch that.
I had to do it the same way last year. Me and you did an episode, and
then
The cool thing is on Unknown Pod, everything was our top three, but we've got a little bit more than top three on a couple of our categories today.
I'm surprised on how much I have this year. Last year, I didn't have a lot. But I've, like, listened to a lot more music and played a lot more games this year. So, like, I'm pretty excited.
So we're going to do our top games, movies, albums, and songs. And we've got a couple other bonus extras in there. We're going to tell you what our favorite wrestling shows that we went to this year, because we went to a lot of them. And we might talk a little bit of TV as well.
Yeah.
We got top threes and most things. I have a top 10 for my albums, so even if you did watch Unknown Pod last night, I've got seven more albums to talk about today, so that's cool. And Lane, I think, has what, top 10 video games?
I have 9 video games, 10 albums, 6 movies, and I think that's it.
Okay. All right, well, do we want to...
And then 3 wrestling shows.
Okay. Do we want to just get straight into it here? Or do we want
to? I don't want to start with albums, because albums,
we'll do albums
is like,
last. That's the main
event.
That's
like our main thing.
Yeah, that's the main event. So we'll do albums last.
It's also what I've been thinking about for the past like 3 months, because I started. Usually, what you do is you start it at like the beginning of the year. You add all your albums. But what I did was I started in like August, when you first said something like you should maybe start listening to them.
Yeah.
And I put all my albums in, and then I just listened to it on shuffle haven't been listening to anything else but listening to that on shuffle. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so what we're talking here is what I do on Spotify at the beginning of the year. I create a playlist. This year is called 2019 Album of the Year Candidates.
I think I have Album of the Year Contenders.
Okay, and I've done this every year since I've started using digital music services like that. I did the same with Beats when I was using Beats way back in the day before we switched to Spotify.
For like a year. We only used Beats for like maybe a year or two, and then
about
Beats
year or two, yeah.
Went down the hole. That was when I turned into Apple
they
Music.
They got bought by Apple, and I was like, well, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
And it was a very smart choice to go to Spotify. Yes. Obviously, that's where it's
Spotify.
At. So I make a playlist at the beginning of the year of that. So then as albums come out, you know, they'll show up on my release radar, or it's a band that I know has an album coming out. So the first thing I do is just add that whole album to the playlist. It's all there, and I can go back and look through it. And sometimes it's even stuff that, like, you know, somebody might recommend to me, I'll throw in there, even if it's not truly an album of the year contender. But like, if one of the Unknown Pod guys, like if Taggart's like, oh, check out this new album, like it's so good, so kind of as a way for me to remember to check it out, sometimes I'll throw it, because if it's a 2019 album, I'll just go ahead and throw it in there, because maybe
I throw it in, because a couple of them on that I have, I was like, maybe I'll check this out, but I realized it's like I don't really like it, so I put it on my list, but it's like low. It's not like 5 or something, just because I had
when
to
we
put
get
it in
to
there.
The albums part of the show, I'll read through mine, because I think I had 18 albums that were added to my list this
year. Besides Tool, because I did not want to put Tool on my list.
Figure you would.
I think with Tool I have 11.
Okay.
But without Tool I have 10.
All right.
Didn't want that to be on my list.
All right, whatever. All right, before we get into our list and everything, how about just a quick recap of 2019? Okay. It's almost over. Do you feel like you had...
2010's almost over. Think about that. I feel like that's kind of crazy.
Yeah, we might do another episode in a week or two in the same format as a best of the decade.
I put a couple of things in there that I want to like talk a little bit about that were just like my games that I've played like in the past 10 years, mainly the games that have gotten me like back into certain kinds of games, like that kind of thing.
Okay.
So, like, one of them is a game that the first game I played on Xbox One, which basically, like, I would say got me into gaming.
What was the first game on Xbox One?
Sunset Overdrive.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So, actually, it was Halo the Master Chief Edition, because we got that.
Yeah.
But Sunset Overdrive is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
So,
right.
And that's also made by the same people that made Spider-Man, which is my favorite game of all time.
Right on.
So.
So, we're hopefully maybe next week or the week after that, but before the end of the year, we're going to shoot for another one of these episodes, because we want to talk about what our top things of the entire decade is. But that's a lot harder to figure out than stuff that came out this year.
Well, we know the top album. That's easy.
Yeah, for sure do know my top album. I made a short list the other day once I started working on these lists for these podcasts. I started a separate list of albums for the decade. And
that's so hard.
And pretty quickly, I was able to rattle off about 8 albums that are my top. So, but of course, I'm going to forget something.
I have a couple of them like that I would know that you have that I have.
Yeah.
Like, there's that little time period where we listen to the same music, because you just listened to it, so it kind of just, like, fed off on us.
Yeah.
But, like, Afghan Wigs and that kind of stuff, because I know In Spades is going to be on there.
Yeah, here, all right, let's do this real quick. Before we get into our top threes, let's discuss our Spotify Wrapped stats for the year.
Okay. I think I have it screenshotted.
Yeah, I screen capped every single
panel. I can find it
panel.
Quickly.
I actually have a folder on my Dropbox where I've kept all of the screenshots from the last 5 years of my Spotify stats. So we don't need to go through every single one of them, of course.
Where do I just find the actual Wrapped?
So now you have to go to Google and Google Spotify Wrapped and then click. I can't find it anywhere in the app anymore. But if you just search for it, it'll link you right back to your Spotify app. It will be the easiest way for you to accomplish that.
I don't think I even screenshotted it.
Okay, so just do what I said. Go to Safari real quick and just type Spotify Wrapped or something like that. It'll be the first thing that comes up, and that'll open in your Spotify app. I had to do this a couple times over the last couple of days. Why they only left it on the main page for one day is stupid. I don't understand that at all. All right, so I don't think we need to discuss the beginning where it goes through the different seasons and everything.
What was your genre stuff?
All right.
Why is Weezer playing?
So my genre stuff, I my 5 genres that they gave me, rock was my highest.
That's what was mine.
Followed by alternative rock.
Okay.
Followed by alternative metal. Okay. Followed by indie rock. Followed by psychedelic doom.
What the heck? What is psychedelic? Like
that's
what?
Like sleep and stuff like that.
Is that guar?
No. I think guar would probably fall under alternative metal.
Okay. So mine is, because I share one with Mama.
Yes.
So that's why one of these. So there's rock is my number one. Then show tunes, which is Hamilton.
God, I hate Hamilton.
So, and then rap. Then pop, which is mainly also Mama. And then alternative hip hop, which I don't know what falls under alternative hip hop. That might be Post Malone. Is what I'm guessing.
I don't.
Because is that like pop rock? Is that like pop rap? Is kind of alternative. Yeah. Then yes, that's Post Malone.
No, but I mean, I don't think you can consider Post Malone alternative. He's about as mainstream and famous as they
get.
Well,
but he's also like,
So I don't know that you can consider that alternative.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I just know that rock
genres
is on
are
there.
Weird.
I just know that rock is on there because of Claypool and Delirium.
Yeah,
that's why that is.
All right, so let's go.
When you accidentally turn off your phone.
Let's see. Who was your top 5 artist of the year? Starting with number 5 and working your way backwards.
Okay, my top 5. Number 5? Okay, my top 5 was Hamilton.
Yep, that was number 5.
Wait, is this my year? This
the one on the right is the decade.
Okay.
That one's your year.
So, Hamilton, Billie Eilish, NF, Logic, Post Malone.
Okay, so you feel like that's a pretty good representation, right? So the one
I thought that Claypool and Delirium should have been on there.
Yeah, you listen to that a ton.
I listened to that.
That's not on there.
Yeah,
that is weird. So mine going from 5 to 1 was Nirvana, Butthole Surfers, Hum, The Flaming Lips, and Tool. Of course, Tool. They released their new album this year, and they got on Spotify finally. So that was definitely no doubt that was going to be my number 1.
But that's crazy because I was. what, 3 months ago?
Yeah, but I mean, come
and
on.
And you've listened to that more than all of those things for in sure. 3 months. That's Easily. Crazy.
I was very surprised by Nirvana being on my list. I don't feel like I purposely listen to much Nirvana anymore.
Maybe radio? No, could you listen to Pandora?
Like, I turn on Nirvana radio on Pandora at work pretty often.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like I use Spotify and Nirvana. I don't know. I was very surprised by that one. But that's cool.
Well, can we talk about just the artist of the decade?
Yeah, so the artist of the decade, let's see, that's right here. All right, so who was your top five artist of the decade?
So,
which is basically the last 5 years since we've been using
Gorillaz, then Mama has the guy that plays Hamilton, and then Hamilton. Mm-hmm. And then Post Malone and Logic. Logic was my number one of all, which doesn't surprise me. I've listened to a lot in the past 2 years.
All right, so mine going from 5 to 1. 5 is Saint Vincent, and then Queens of the Stone Age, Eels, Hum, and the Afghan Whigs were my artist of the decade, which I was super happy having the Afghan Whigs as my artist of the decade. Also pretty 90s with Hum and Eels. There's no surprise there, I guess, but I was glad St. Vincent made it on the list, something that's newer and more current.
And not rock.
And not rock, too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like the opposite of rock.
Good call. But she plays the guitar. She rocks.
Well, yeah, but a lot.
But it's not rock music.
When I hear you listen to it, I don't think that this is dad listening to it. That makes sense.
I know.
It's not something. When I think about it, I'm like, I don't think that dad is the one. I don't think you would listen to Billie Eilish willingly.
Yeah. But I have two albums on my top 10 that are not like any of the others, basically. That's like an indie pop is the two albums I have are like that.
So what are we starting off at? We got to actually start. All
right, let's do this. So that was our Spotify stats. I was really glad that they included the decade stuff in it. That was nice. Yeah. I didn't expect that. I thought they did a really good job this year.
I'm glad they did it, even though we've only been doing it for 5 years.
Yeah.
Well, you've been doing it for 6 years. You started 2014. Everybody else started 2015.
Right. I used it in 2014 as the free service, and then you started paying for it in 2015.
So it's like you went premium 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. So what are we starting off on?
All right. Let's do. Let's start with movies.
Movies.
Are you good with movies?
Yeah. Okay. So I have 6 movies, but I'm only gonna include 5. Because I think I only saw 6 movies, but I'm guessing if I looked it up, I've seen more.
Probably.
That's how I was with games. I was like,
that's
why
you gotta keep these lists,
I only
man.
Have 3 games, then I realize how many games I played this year.
So come on, better list next time.
Okay, movies. Number 5.
Yep.
Frozen 2.
Okay.
It was okay.
Whatever.
It was, I don't think it was better than the first one, but it was very funny. And you could get attached to the characters very easily.
All right.
But I don't think it was worth the wait, to be honest.
I didn't know that was a long wait for Frozen 2. Was it like the Tool album? Like, people have been waiting for
a long time? They've said that it's been, being made for a while. And I think the last one came out 2015 or something.
Well, that ain't too long ago.
Well, it's not too long ago, but for a Disney movie that made a bunch of money, 4 years is a long time.
Yeah.
So, Toy Story, where it's like 9.5 years.
All right, so I can't match you on that one.
I just realized I haven't even seen Toy Story 4 yet. That would probably be close to the top.
Complex.
I know, but I wanted to see it in the theater and we didn't.
Well, too late for that now. Now you watch it on Plex.
Okay. What's your 5?
Is it on Disney Plus?
What? Frozen 2?
Toy Story 4?
No, it's not.
Okay. Well, it's on Plex. I do not have a number 5. I think I only saw 3 movies this year, and I've got all 3 of those on my list. So you go ahead and do number 4, and then I'll chime in.
My number 4 is Captain Marvel, which is a Marvel movie.
No.
But it was cool. It was the first female lead role Marvel movie. Superhero movie, not just Marvel movie.
Okay.
So, no. Marvel movie. Catwoman. We don't count that, though.
Nope.
But still, that's pretty big, and it was really good. And then also, the character had to do a lot in the next movie. So, okay. Should I say my 3, or do you want to go with your 3 first?
You go with your 3.
Okay. Then my 3rd one is Spider-Man Far From Home.
Okay. I think that was Kyle's number 1.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure is what he said last night.
Wait. Was Endgame on there?
I don't think Kyle said Endgame in his top 3.
That man is insane. I don't really understand that you can say that. Because you can't see Spider-Man without seeing Endgame. So that means he had to have seen Endgame.
I mean, I'm sure he did, but...
But he... Okay. He's probably one of those people that was like, when do I go to the bathroom in the middle of Endgame? That's probably Kyle.
Damn. I don't know.
I hate those kind of people who... Like,
well, because, the movies are four and a half hours long. You have to take a leak halfway through.
They announced the movie was 3 hours and 1 minute long. And then people are like, I can't sit through 3 hours of a movie. When should I go to the bathroom? And people are like, never, because the movie, like, never kind of halts. So then people are just complaining about how they needed to go to the bathroom at one point. I sat through that movie, like, four times in the theater. I think you can.
Well, good for you. I would have to go to the bathroom, probably, at night.
It's dumb. You'd be sleeping.
I'd be sleeping, and I'd wake up, and I'd have to pee.
It's so stupid.
All right, my number three was one that me and Tyler saw, because Tyler works at the theater, and we get in free. And it was a movie that I really wanted to see from the time that I learned about it a long time ago. And the movie is Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I've always been into the whole, like, Charles Manson thing and knowing and reading and watching all kinds of stuff about that.
What number and Tarantino movie is that? Nine?
I'm not that big of a Tarantino fan to know.
Okay.
But I thought this movie sucked. It's on my list because I saw three movies this year, so I put it on the list. But I really did not enjoy Once Upon a Time.
Did you not enjoy
Hollywood.
Because they changed the original story?
Partly, yes.
Okay.
Partly, I'm like, well, this is definitely not how it happened, but I'm not mad about that. I know it's just a movie.
But
it doesn't
have to follow. It also makes it more suspenseful and like that kind of thing. It makes it so then like you think one thing's going to happen, it's not.
Yeah. So. It wasn't the movie that I thought it was going to be when I learned about it, and it just ended up being another just pointless Hollywood movie, I thought. It wasn't... I don't know. I was pretty disappointed in that movie.
Well, it apparently made a bunch of money.
Yeah, most people like it.
I think you're one of the only people who really think that.
You're right.
Okay, my number two is Knives Out.
Okay.
So, last night I did watch Endgame. So, because I was really tilted between Endgame and Knives Out. Because we saw Knives Out is like a murder mystery movie.
Yeah.
And me and Tyler went to go see it a couple weeks ago. It is such a good movie. Like, it was, like, I went into it thinking it was going to be really good, but not, like, not, like, movie of the decade kind of material. And then it kind of was. So, but still, the between the two, yeah. What's your number two?
My number two is The Dead Don't Die. Me and Tyler went to see that in the theater also. We got free tickets for that one. Not because he works there. It was just some advanced screener that you could just get free tickets to that I got free tickets to. So that was cool. It was a pretty good movie. It wasn't great, but it's my number two movie.
All right. So you can guess by now.
Yep.
My number one movie is Avengers Endgame.
Mm-hmm.
I am pretty sure it's my favorite movie of all time.
All right.
Because I watched it last night because I was tilted between Knives Out and Endgame. And I just realized, like, because then I was talking to Mom about it in the car today. I was like, it wasn't just a movie. Like how everything played out and, like, how the hype was. It didn't feel like a movie. It felt like we were, like, a part of the whole thing because we've been through it for the past 11 years.
Yeah.
So, It's crazy just thinking about it, like, thinking that we followed these characters for 11 years, and then, like, that saga's kind of over. That's weird.
They'll be rebooting them in no time.
Well, they're not going to reboot anything. They're just making other movies.
Give it a few years, and they'll be rebooting everything.
They're not going to reboot anything.
Speaking of reboot, my favorite movie of the year, Jay and the Silent Bob reboot. I absolutely... loved this movie. I cannot stress how much I loved it. I've been a Kevin Smith fan since day one, but I'm well aware that his movies here lately have not been all that great.
But have his movies been lately?
Like Yoga Hosiers and Red State.
Never
and
heard of any of those things.
It wasn't a part of the Jay and Silent Bob
that's
universe.
Why. Okay.
And they're not bad movies. Like, I mean, I still actually kind of like everything he's done, but nothing's as good as Clerks and Mallrats and that kind of stuff. So this one, and the trailer came out for this one, and I thought it looked terrible. I had no hopes for this movie whatsoever, because I was like, Kevin ain't made that much good stuff here lately. the trailer itself looks terrible. If they can't make a good trailer out of this
movie.
What
did you not like about the trailer?
It just, it looks stupid. It wasn't funny. I don't think they did a good job with the trailer. So somebody did not do something right with the trailer, because me being a longtime Kevin Smith fan thought it looked stupid. But then when I seen the movie, I absolutely loved it. So somebody needed to make a better trailer for this movie, but whatever. So that was my favorite movie of the year. It was very, very, very good. I can't wait till it comes out and we can all watch it at home, because everybody's going to love this movie.
Yeah. So what do you think, like, because how many movies have you seen in the 2010s? Well,
I have no idea.
I think for you, your number one would be Dark Knight Rises. Dark Knight came out 2008, right?
I don't know.
I know Dark Knight Rises came out 2012.
Gotcha.
But, like, I don't think you've seen, like, any of those bigger movies in a while. So I think that would probably be your number one.
I'm not a big movie guy. I don't spend a lot of time with movies anymore. And that's whatever. It's not... I don't know. Yeah. There's a list of movies that, like, in my head, I'm like, I still really want to watch that. Like, I think Smoothies number one was Us. Ain't that the name of it?
Yeah,
And I still...
I want to see that. I want to watch that and Get Out.
Yeah, I haven't watched either one of them.
And I've
heard
seen...
nothing but good things about them. So it's on my list of stuff to watch that I just never
like,
do.
I really only want to watch it because it's so good and it's Jordan Peele. Like,
yeah, cause that's the point of it.
I've watched... K.M. Peele, which was him and Keegan-Michael Key's show. Yeah. That's really funny. And I know that, like, I know at least Get Out is, like, super, like, not just a horror movie. And there are, like, a million theories, and, like, it also, like, tackles racism and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, those are both
yeah.
near the top of my list of movies I need to watch.
Was Hereditary last year?
Yeah, this year was Midsommar, was.
Oh, okay.
What Scott had on his list, and. Kyle hated that movie. He said it was.
Did you
like,
watch? Did you
I
see?
I still
it?
Haven't watched it yet. I liked Hereditary a lot, so yeah. I'm kind of.
It's in the same universe. Right?
I would like it, yeah. So I just haven't got around to watching that yet either. All right, is that it for movies? So I mean,
yeah.
So you think it was a pretty good year for movies overall? Like you really liked your top three?
Yeah,
and...
I really did like my top three. Yeah.
Cool. Well, your top five or whatever you have.
Six. Okay. So my number six was live action Lion King. And I only put it on there because I needed another movie. But that movie sucked.
Okay.
I did not like the live-action Lion King. I think at least it's not the cats thing where, like, it's literally people as cats.
Yes.
It's just a bunch of... It's okay-looking CGI, but it just also just looks bad.
Yeah.
So it's, like, new technology and, like, see how realistic it looks. But I just don't think it was supposed to be... in live action. Just didn't make sense.
I have zero interest in this whole turning a cartoon into a live action.
Well, Cats is a thing. Broadway into a movie.
Yeah,
so,
but I mean, they've done Lion King, Aladdin.
Yeah. I haven't seen Aladdin.
Wasn't there something else that they did? I don't know. That's just not my thing.
Okay. What's next?
What do you want to do next?
Games.
We can do games. You want to do... We got games, wrestling, and I want to throw in...
I'll do games. My games is kind of long. I know yours is kind of short, so I can blow through mine.
All right.
So I don't really have a list for my games, but I do have a number one game.
Okay.
Because I had a lot, and right before the show, I was like, hey, I have a lot more games that I played that I didn't realize.
So I have three of these as well. So once you get down to three, then I'll start throwing mine in there.
Okay, so I'm just going to say a couple of them that I don't really have ordered, but I know that are kind of at the bottom. So Call of Duty Mobile.
Okay.
came out. That is actually a pretty okay mobile game.
Yeah,
like it.
I've heard.
It felt well, like moving. I was able to aim like fairly okay. It's not like Fortnite where like it's impossible to do anything unless you're a little god. So, Resident Evil 2. I didn't really know where to put it, but we played that together. I'm guessing that's on your list as well. But. That was a very fun game. I want to do something else like that. I want to do that with the Blair Witch game.
I forgot all about that game.
I know that
I don't see that game anywhere. Like when I go,
I don't see it anywhere, and I haven't heard any reviews for it, but I know it came out.
No, like literally, like I mean, out of every store shelf I've looked at, that's why I forgot about it. I have never seen that on a store shelf.
It might be $5.
Is it maybe digital only?
No, it's not digital only. It came out in August. I remember like I was kind of excited for it. But it disappeared. Like, I'm
looking it up on Amazon.
Just look up Blair Witch game.
Yeah, it's not on here.
PS4.
It's not on Amazon.
I think it just disappeared.
That's so
it
weird.
It disappeared off the face of the earth.
Let's see.
Go into the PlayStation store.
Yeah, I'm just going to Google it.
Let me go into the PlayStation
store.
This
is good radio, everybody. Blair Witch PS4. Did it come out for PS4?
I think so. Survival game.
No, it was published by Lionsgate for Microsoft Windows and Xbox One.
Oh, okay.
That's why it's not coming up.
Oh, okay, yeah, because I remember it was at the Microsoft press conference. So how much is it for Xbox?
It's currently unavailable on Amazon.
What? Let me go into the X. All right. Okay. Talk.
But,
I'm going to find this real quick.
That was fun doing that, and we'll get to that when I get to my list real quick. Come on, hurry up.
It's hard to navigate through this stupid app.
Yep, but we got other things to talk about.
Then talk about your games.
I can't talk about my games till we get to number 3.
Blair Witch. Blair Witch.
Okay, what do you got?
It's $30.
$30.
Okay.
All right, moving on. Back to your list. So yeah,
oh, it's also on PC. I think I would rather play it on PC.
That'd be a fun one to play if it's any good. I don't know about it.
Okay.
Keep going.
So, RE2,
yep.
Mortal Kombat 11, okay, that so game was frustrating.
I only did a top 3,
and
Mortal Kombat did not make my top 3, so I guess that'll make, like, honorable mention for me, but I wasn't that into it. I don't know.
I played a lot of online. I got a lot better at Mortal Kombat in this game, which I would like to go back and play, but how people play that game is just awful. Like, the way that people win games is not skill. Okay. It's like, you know when people make the rule, like, no shin kicking? That's all they do. Like, the whole time, they just spam one singular move. And that's all they do, and it's so annoying.
Yeah, I think I was a little let down by that game.
I like the customization. I think the crypt is what let you down.
The crypt was done very badly this time around. There should be a certain location and a certain coin that you have to have to be able to get a certain thing, and it was all random, and that made it terrible.
So then The Division 2, I played that on PC, and I went to go back and play it, but the main reason I kind of stopped playing it was because it's not on my account. I had to I had to be on mine and then sign in to
You can buy that for PS4 for pretty cheap now.
I think I would rather buy it on here and play it on here, I think.
Gotcha.
But that game was a lot of fun. I remember one day I played it like 9 hours straight and just nobody cared. I was just downstairs the whole entire time. And it's just so much fun. I love all the customization and how there's never really a stop in gameplay. I liked that a lot.
Right up. It did look like a cool game.
And it was a lot better than the first one. I went into... because we got it for free. We got it with the RAM. What was it?
With the processor. It was the processor.
Processor.
It was the AMD Ryzen processor. Came with a free copy.
Which made it only be able to have on your account. Even though you never played it.
Right.
You should have said something to me about that. Then you would tell me to put it on mine.
Whatever.
Okay. Then you have...
You at 3 or where are you
at? I'm at 4.
Okay.
So then... Oh, wait, no, I'm at 5. So Tetris 99.
Yeah.
Did
that come out this year?
February 13th, 2019.
Okay, cool.
When I added a bunch of these, I looked up games that came out 2019.
Dad, why?
And then went
that.
On Wikipedia and just looked at all the games that I had played.
I hate that I forgot that.
Yeah.
So that's your number what?
That's my number 5.
Okay, so I'm going to expand on my list a little bit then here as we go. Number 5 on my list is Fire Emblem Three Houses. I forgot to include that. It didn't crack my top 3. I would have played that a lot more if the combat system wasn't so tedious.
Meaning?
Like it's not like an old turn-based RPG where your four characters you know, just kind of take turns.
Which is why I couldn't play, like, I cannot this play one, turn-based
it's
games.
Super tactical. You have to move each person one at a time, and it just got to be a little bit too much for me.
Besides Pokemon, I cannot play turn-based games. They just, it's too much for me. Like, I don't like it. Like, Pokemon, it's one Pokemon doing one move. And then for this, it's like four guys, you have to make sure you do the right move so you do the right damage. Yeah. And if you do this, then it won't happen. And it's crazy. Like, that's why I won't play Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
Well, the old Final Fantasy. I want to play the new ones because those are just action games.
When Final Fantasy VII Remaster comes out next year, I'm going to be buying that for sure.
Yeah. So then I'm in my top four. Mario Maker 2.
Okay.
We all kind of played that. I think you played a little bit more than I did.
I'd say a lot more than you did.
A lot? Okay. But I think I was more accomplished. Like, I feel like... Because I set a world record for one of the levels, one of the speed running levels, which I was very happy about. I was, like... Because I was just focused, and I was just like, I'm going to do this. And all of a sudden, it's like, world record. I was like, yeah!
And Smoothie informed us last night on the Unknown Pod that you can play as Link now. And
I heard about that.
And that it's not just a skin that makes it look like Link, but act like Mario. Yeah. Like, it is Link. Like, you can use a sword and you can use a shield to block.
That's so
I'll
cool.
be playing that today because I haven't played that in a little while.
Yeah. So, my...
Is that your four?
Yes.
All right, my four then will be Tetris 99.
Okay.
I'll throw that in there.
Is Octopath on there?
That didn't come out this year.
It didn't?
Mm-mm.
No.
Okay. No, because that was on my Christmas list last year.
Oh, okay.
And I still don't own the daggone game. I downloaded it on the PC, but
you played it on the Switch.
Yeah, but
so
not enough of it, though.
Yeah. Also, so I was leaning on Smash Bros. Ultimate. So, because... So, it didn't come out this year, but it came out, like, the 28th of last year.
Okay.
So...
And
it's also being put on Game of the Year for the Game Awards. So it's being known as a game for this year because it was kind of after.
Fair enough.
So I don't know where to put it, but I think that would probably be in my top five somewhere. Okay. But because I played a lot of that game. That game is so fun. I need to actually get it one of these days. It's probably cheap now. But,
Smash?
Yeah.
No. Nintendo
still,
games.
It's because
they literally never go down in price.
Well,
there was some sales.
It's
on
also because it's a huge game still.
Yeah. Just, I mean, Nintendo, their first party games, they just don't drop in price.
Yeah.
They just don't.
It's because
I've walked into
also
GameStop,
with like the fighter packs and that kind of stuff. It's huge still.
I've walked into GameStop and looked at like the Wii games, and one time I was going to buy a Metroid game, the Metroid Trilogy game for Wii at one point. This was just like a couple years ago, like way after the Wii was relevant. And it was still a $50 game because they don't lower the prices on those games. So what number are you on?
I'm on three.
Did you say three?
No.
Okay.
Okay, my number three is Call of Duty Modern Warfare.
All right.
So this is the first Call of Duty game I've bought day one. And it was not a very pleasant experience for day one.
Oh, you bought it on the PC on day one.
So I bought it on the PC. My PC couldn't handle the game. So I refunded it. And then I was like, oh, I'll get it on PS4. And then I realized that though at this point, our PS4 was being weird. And
is that where you bought it, this PS4?
No.
Okay.
You should have let me finish. And I would have just said that. My PS4 was being weird, so I didn't have PS Plus, so I wouldn't be able to play online.
Got it, okay.
Which, also, I think I realize now, it doesn't need PS Plus. I don't think. I'm not sure.
What do you mean? You have to have PlayStation Plus to play online.
Not for all games. Fortnite doesn't need PS Plus. Apex doesn't need PS Plus.
Okay.
There are multiple games that you don't need PS Plus to play online.
Okay.
So, that's why, like, a lot of my friends play Fortnite, because, like, only Fortnite, because they don't have PS Plus. Gotcha. So... but like I was playing with Josh earlier, and I don't think he has and he said he doesn't have PS Plus, but he was able to play it with me. So,
gotcha.
But I was playing it on Xbox, so I got it on Xbox, and now it's been fun.
Yeah.
And
me and the Unknown Pod guys want to play it. A couple of them have it on Xbox as well.
Yeah.
Smoothie is the only one that has it on PS4, but we can do crossplay. So.
Yeah. And wink, wink. Use Discord, and you can talk to all of each other.
Yeah, I know. We talked about that.
See, that's what I do. because I play with PS4 friends as well, I get all of them into a Discord call, and then we all play.
That's what we're going to start doing. Howdy Inc. Discord, everybody. I'm trying to get it up and running, and I don't really know a whole lot about it yet, but it's going to be a thing, and that'll be cool.
Yeah.
All right, so that was your number three. Yeah, that was that was Scott's number one, just so you're aware.
What, Modern Warfare?
Modern Warfare, okay. Yeah. He said it's the best Call of Duty game to ever be made, he loves it.
It's so pretty good. I think still BO2 is the best one. One of these days, we should, like, all play. Yeah. That'd be cool,
yep.
Even though we only have one. But still.
All right, my number three was Resident Evil 2, the remake.
Okay.
That one was a game that I loved back when it first came out, and I hadn't played it since then, so it was fun to play it again. It was really fun, like Lane mentioned, it was really fun, me, Helm, and Tyler all playing it together, kind of taking turns. We would only play when it was nighttime, yes. It was dark outside.
That was like our one rule, we could only play when it's nighttime.
All the lights were off, we played the whole game all the way from start to finish in the dark.
Yes.
And that, it was just a super fun experience.
And
it was,
I think
instead
the
of,
best
you know,
part is that I would never forget when Mr. X opened up that helicopter, we were like, nope, we're not.
Yeah. Yeah, that was.
We all just ran the opposite direction. We were like, nope, 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 and then he just started following us. Like, what do we do?
And then he became Thomas the Tank Engine.
or you could play as tofu, and every time that a zombie bites you, like, it takes a big chunk out of the tofu.
That's funny. So that was a good one, and yeah. They're doing that with Resident Evil 3 now as well.
And apparently a new one's coming out as well.
I don't understand why they didn't start with Resident Evil 1. Why didn't they remaster Resident Evil 1?
Because they released Resident Evil 1, 2, and 3 on Switch a couple months ago. So that's probably why. They didn't...
Okay.
Nintendo didn't want them to remaster it because then it would only be a Nintendo thing. Does that make sense?
Not exactly. Okay. But
so, my number two... Why is it not letting me scroll? Okay. My number two... Why don't it let me scroll? Okay. My number two... is Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games 2020.
Okay.
So
I kind of forgot about that one.
Yeah, that's good. I have really only played the gymnastics. Like when I first got it, we all played it together and it was really fun. And then you guys kind of stopped playing it. So then I only played gymnastics and got really freaking good at it. So
we'll have to go back to that game.
Yeah. That'll be a game that we should play at Christmas, mm-hmm. all of us together, because then Nathaniel will bring Joy-Cons, then we can play a bunch.
Yep.
So,
my number two is Mario Maker 2.
Okay.
On my list. That was a game that you bought.
Yeah.
With your money, and you brought it home, and I was like, oh, cool, Mario Maker 2, I'll give that a shot. And instantly, I hated it.
Because it was just so hard.
Because I thought it was just way too hard. And then then I just realized, you know, this is not the kind of game that you just walk through and win. You have to retry the level.
Well, the original game isn't a walk through and win besides the first, like, three levels.
Yeah, totally, for sure.
After the first three levels, it gets pretty hard.
Yep. But when you go back to a game of that style, it just, for me, it does. It takes a minute to, like, kind of get used to the old style of playing video games, because it's very, very, very different now.
Which is why I couldn't play it as much, because you just die so much. Mm-hmm. So,
but I love the speedrun levels. I enjoyed the endless world thing. I'm up to like 120 something or another on that mode. Yeah, super fun. I never made anything though. Like, it seems like it's too time consuming to make stuff.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed that game.
I think I would make something if I had a stylus. I just don't like tapping everything with my finger or doing with the joysticks. It feels too hard.
Gotcha.
I wish that they made a stylus. It would be really cool.
All right.
So
your number one game.
My number one game
in 2019.
My number one game in 2019 is Apex Legends.
What?
So, what do you think I was gonna say?
I didn't know, but
so it's Apex.
Okay.
So this came out in February, and there was a lot of hype over it because nobody knew what exactly was happening because they never announced it. It just happened. But then there were rumors that happened because I remember we were sitting watching the Super Bowl. And I saw on IGN rumors that Respawn, which is the people who made Titanfall, so I was already kind of on board, making a new battle royale called Apex Legends. So it's basically Overwatch meets, like, Titanfall meets Fortnite, basically. So that sounds kind of cool, right?
I mean, me and my buddies play.
I know you hated it because you're bad at it.
Yeah, I'm not good at it.
So I've been playing it with a couple of my friends, and the game is just so fun. Like, sometimes you get bored of it because there are a lot of times where you either get a lobby where there are people your skill level or people who are super high above your skill level. There's not really a bottom.
Right.
Everybody's just like kind of the same, or everybody has the best gaming chair in the world. So, yeah, I like it a lot, and
cool.
It's really fun.
All right.
Yep. And it was also funny because Titanfall 2 was the free PS Plus game of the month.
Yeah.
And I went back and played it, and I realized how the guns are the same. Because, like, it's the same developer.
Gotcha.
And, like, it's weird playing those guns and knowing exactly how they work because I've played Apex now. So it's kind of funny.
I thought Titanfall 2 was a good game for them to give away in December. Everybody that gets their PlayStation for Christmas or whatever. I think Titanfall is a good one.
It's such a fun game. I love Titanfall. And then I was talking to
the motocross game, not so much. That game was terrible.
I was talking to one of my friends who used to play the first Titanfall with me. And it's funny. Titanfall is the first game I streamed on Twitch.
Yeah.
So, like, Titanfall built my channel a little bit. And, like, I remember one of the days me and Jeremiah was streaming, and the guy was like, hey, could we play? Like, I want to see how good you guys are. And this guy was a million times better than us. But it was just so fun having a viewer be like, hey, I want to play. And, like, I sort of talk to that guy sometimes. And, like, I think it's super cool that a game like that, that was, at that point, that came out on Xbox 360. That was, like, a game that happened in, like, 2012 and then was released on Xbox One.
Yeah.
So it was, it's just such a fun game, and it's crazy how, like, that's where it kind of all started. And now I'm just playing Guitar Hero.
And Titanfall 2 was one of the three games you got for your birthday.
Happy birthday, Lane. Yeah. I love that video. There were so many people at school that, especially on my birthday, walked up to me and said, happy birthday, Lane. Because they've all seen that video. It's amazing.
Nice. That's on my YouTube channel if anybody wants to watch.
Yeah, with like, I wonder how many views it has at this point.
Yeah, it was the most views I ever had. That blew up on Reddit.
Yeah, that's crazy.
All right, my number one game of the year. No freaking surprises here. Shenmue 3. Yep.
Haven't even finished the whole game.
No, I'm only I think I'm about halfway through.
What about Shenmue 1 and 2? The remaster.
I played.
Have you thought about that? That came out this year, right?
It came out last year.
Oh, okay.
Yep. I think that was my game of the year. I think that was my game of the year last year, yeah. Okay. So yeah, after waiting 18 years and every single Shenmue fan thought that it was pretty much dead in the water, it came back and they did a Kickstarter and they made the game and it feels like an old Shenmue game.
Is that still the fastest Kickstarter?
As far as I know.
Okay.
I love the game. I mean, it doesn't feel like a modern game. It feels more like an 18-year-old Shenmue game. Like, it feels like what the game should have looked like if the sequel came out, you know, like when it should have, however many years ago. But, I mean, just what a cool story, though. Like, I mean, obviously it's a little cult classic kind of thing that Shenmue is. It was never a big, huge blockbuster by any means. But it just shows you, like, you know, you keep hoping and, you know, a game that you think is never going to, you know, get a sequel or come out, it might if you keep up with it. So
yeah,
the Shenmue community on social media is just fantastic. Every first Tuesday of the month is Shenmue Day and we all tweet and retweet.
Why is that Shenmue Day? What's the importance of the first Tuesday of the month?
Or it's the third, I'm sorry, it's the third of the month is what it is. I don't know why I said Tuesday. It's the third of every month is just...
Is that the day it came out or something?
Because we were all waiting for Shenmue 3
when
this first happened. So it was the third of every month. There's been talk about changing it to the fourth now, because now it's time to start hoping for the fourth game.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's,
that'll
you know,
be,
hashtags...
That'll be two generations away. Because the last one was, what, PS2? PS1?
Xbox. The original Xbox.
Oh, the original Xbox. Okay.
Or Dreamcast.
Because it was Dreamcast. Okay. This is the first time it's been on PS4, right? On PlayStation, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So it's a really cool game. I mean, if you like Shenmue, I assume that you would like this game. If you've never really cared about Shenmue, then it's probably not your thing.
So I just want to talk about four other games real quick that I have.
Oh, my God.
No, it's just real quick that are games that didn't come out this year that I've been playing recently. So, Guitar Hero, obviously, Clone Hero, I've been playing that a bunch. Spider-Man and Sunset Overdrive, both games made by Insomniac, in my opinion, one of the best developers out there right now, and two of my probably my two favorite games of all time. Then also Horizon Zero Dawn. I beat that a couple days ago. And that game is just so fun.
It looks pretty cool from what I saw you playing.
It's hard a little bit, and it kind of gets tiring of just walking everywhere, which is why I'm not going to play Death Stranding, because that's literally all it is just walking. But, yeah, those were four games that I've been playing super recently. So, cool. What's next? Songs?
We can do songs next, yeah. Okay.
Do you have five or do you have three?
I have three.
Okay. So, my number five for songs is Leave Me Alone by NF.
Okay.
So, I made this list like on the way home, so it's kind of quick, but it's a good song. It's the same thing about Kyle's song, where you also know about how it's like ICP on how like it tells a story.
Okay.
Like this kind of same song like tells a story throughout the 4 minutes of the song.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I like it a lot. Same way with my number two.
Okay.
And number one. So.
What about number four?
My number four is I Love You Forever by Logic.
All right.
So this was off of his Supermarket album, which came out with his book, which is one of my favorite books. Basically, the album was just, the songs go along with the book, but it doesn't, actually spoil anything. It's kind of just, the mood of that part of the book, kind of. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. You could do your third one.
My number three, I don't know that you've ever even heard this song. The name of the song is Anxious Alien, and it's by Hannah. It's it's a very pop song that made my list. I discovered Hannah from... there used to be a music festival in Cincinnati called Midpoint Music Festival.
Yeah.
And we went a couple years ago to see Purity Ring. They're like an indie pop band. And Hannah was the artist that opened for Purity Ring, so I've been following her since then. And she just released a new album probably a month ago now. She streamed the entire making the album on her Twitch.
Is that who you were talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So she's just a solo artist, and she has a studio set up in her house, and she streamed the entire thing on Twitch, and I thought that was super cool. And then the album came out just like a week after she finished streaming it on Twitch.
That's
I thought
crazy.
That was cool. It's a very poppy song. I think Kyle or Scott last night said that they thought that it sounded very 90s,
okay.
Which I had not really thought of. I just thought it was a fun, pop, catchy song or whatever. But, I mean, it makes sense that, I mean, everything else I like is 90s. So I guess it makes sense that this one sounds like 90s, and that's why I like it. Very cool song, though.
So my number three is, even though I always botch the name of it, Amethyst Realm, right?
I don't remember.
Amethyst Realm.
Amethyst?
Something like that. By Claypool and Delirium.
Mm-hmm.
This is like a 7.5 minute long song, and it reminds me of Tool a lot.
Because
there's not a lot of vocals. There's a lot of guitar, but the guitar just sounds so freaking cool, and it's super, like, stoner kind of just guitar, like, days in and days out.
Yeah.
It just sounds so freaking cool.
Yeah, totally. I love that song. Good song. My number two is also Claypool and Lennon Delirium, and the name of the song, what is the name of the song? Blood and Rockets. Blood and Rockets.
Are you going to say the whole entire name?
Nope. We're just going to say Blood and Rockets. Movement one, something or another.
I know the second movement is To the Moon. I know that.
Yep. So that's, that was a song, that was...
I think it's Movement 1, Jack Parsons, Movement 2, To the Moon.
Sounds about
right. I think so.
That was one that, the very first time I heard it when it came out earlier this year, like, it went on repeat, like, right away. I was blown away by how good
that's also how I got into it.
It instantly became my song of the year at that point until my other song of the year came out.
Until Tool became a thing.
Yeah, great, great song. It was cool hearing the guys' feedback on that last night because Kyle said that was the first song that was on our playlist that he didn't skip halfway through, that he actually wanted to listen to the whole thing. So that was cool. Scott said it reminded him so much of the Beatles. And I'm like, yeah totally.
Yep.
My God, I love the Beatles.
I was waiting for somebody to say it sounds like the Beatles, and it also sounds like Primus.
Yeah, right. Kyle's like, how do you people like... find these crazy obscure bands like this. And I'm like, well, it's freaking Les Claypool and Sean Lennon. So, like,
I'm so glad you found them. I mean, they are so good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it just them, or who's the drummer?
Their drummer is, I think they go through different drummers. I don't think there's, like, specifically a drummer.
Kind of like
one
how...
of their, one of their drummers, when they went out on tour this past summer, was Patrick Keeler, who is the drummer for the Afghan Whigs.
Oh, okay. So that's super cool.
Yeah, super cool. That
we need to see him. I remember in, like, the UK, Flaming Lips and Claypool and Delirium were going on tour together. And I was like, that would be so freaking cool to go see both of them. Because I was also on a Flaming Lips kick at that point. So
yeah, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
All right, number one song of the year.
Number two. Number two.
I said my number two.
And now it's my number two. Then you're going to say your number one, then I'm going to say my number one.
Okay, so that's what I just said. We're on to number one.
Okay. Did you say, what was your third one? The Hannah one?
Hannah was three. Oh, okay. Blood and Rockets was two.
So my number two is Listen Before I Go by Billie Eilish.
Okay.
So this song is, like, super depressing. It's about suicide.
Is all of her music super depressing?
Not all of it, but it's very dark. It's known as what people say. It's 13-year-old depressed girl music is what it's known as,
and that's fine. Like, I'm not opposed to that. That's whatever. I'm just kind of. I feel like I'm noticing a trend, and I think the genre should be called, like, sad pop or something like that.
Because I don't think she's pop anyways. I think that she is her own kind of thing, which might be sad pop. I don't think she's classified as pop.
It seems like there's multiple different artists now, and it seems like it's always a female-fronted band that is this whole entire genre of sad pop.
And I think the coolest thing about her is that not everything is about a breakup or whatever. So she might be pop, but not everything is about that.
Taylor Swift, a song about a breakup.
And also, her producer is her brother, which is one of my albums for top 10. He had an album. So, like, they've been working on this album since, like, 2013, since, like, she was, like, kind of little.
Yeah.
And, like,
how old is she now?
I think she's
18 or something.
17, I think. 16 or 17. So she's, like, super young.
Yeah.
And, like, she's been working on this for a while. So, and it's about suicide and, like, how you can't, like, how nobody can save her. And the title of the song is Listen Before I Go. And the title, none of it is capitalized. So
nothing.
That's
another trend, too, is not capitalizing any of that.
The I specifically is not capitalized. Most of her music, sometimes it's capitalized. But this song specifically is not, because it's supposed to be a line in a suicide note.
Yeah.
So Listen Before I Go is saying, like, listen to what the note is before she goes to kill herself. So it's a super depressing song if you actually listen to the lyrics, but it's also a really good song. Yeah. So
that reminds me of an old Megadeth song. There was there was an old Megadeth song back in the late 90s called A Tout Le Monde. And the chorus of the song was written in French and sung in French.
Okay.
And it was Dave Mustaine, the lead singer of Megadeth. It was his suicide note that he wrote that said, goodbye, all my friends, goodbye, my family, I'll miss you, or something was the translation from French to English. And it was his suicide note, but then he ended up not going through with it, but then ended up using it to make what is my very favorite Megadeth song. So.
Okay.
That was a connection.
I don't know a lot of Megadeth, but I just know Peace Sells. Yeah. So that's kind of it.
Great song. Well, that was your number two. Yeah. So now my number one is the entire Tool album. No, Tool Numa. If I have to pick one song off the new album, it's Numa.
I thought you would say either Seven or Penuma.
Numa is...
It's the P, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, then that one. Yeah.
That's the one. Okay. That was my favorite concert moment of the year this year. Was we went to see Tool at what is now called the Heritage Bank Center. And it was just such a cool concert. And then, like, the third or so song they played was Numa. And when it got to that awesome riff in the song, the part, that was when all the lasers kicked on for the first time and, like, filled up the whole arena with all the Tool-type concert stuff. That was my favorite concert moment of the year. Also throwing that in there. Also throwing in there my second favorite concert moment of 2019 was getting to be a part of the Green Jello punk rock puppet show. I was on stage next to Bill Manspeaker while he was singing Three Little Pigs, and that will go down as one of the highlights of my concert life. That was amazing.
So
I found out last night that Green Jello is coming to Columbus in February.
Is it actually going to happen, though?
Hopefully. Because Kyle has always liked Green Jello, too, and he's never seen them, and he said that they're coming to Columbus. So I said I will for sure come up to Columbus to go see Green Jello with him. So that'll happen in February.
All right.
So Tool Noom is my number one.
My number one is Time Machine by Logic, another song off of Supermarket, another depressing song. It's about, like, not being able. So it's like the person he loves dies, and, like, he can't. He goes back in time over and over again and can't save her. So, like, he's just, like, stuck in a loop of watching her die over and over again. Again, another depressing song. So cool. Are we on the wrestling shows, right?
All right, so that's our songs. We're trucking through here, people. We still got not too much more to go, I guess.
Yeah.
Wrestling and albums, is that all that's left?
Yeah. And then the last, like, TV show thing.
Let's do TV shows real quick. My favorite TV season that happened during 2019.
Let me guess. BoJack.
Of course. The first half of the final season of BoJack Horseman, obviously.
So, also, the one that I chose hasn't finished its first season yet. And The Mandalorian on Disney Plus. That show is just so freaking good.
I know.
Like, this is
it.
So it's a weekly show on Disney Plus, so it comes out every Friday at like 3 a.m. So this is a show that I'm so excited about that I set an alarm extra early on a school day to watch it before I go to school.
You do what you gotta do.
I wake up at like 6:30 on Fridays, especially on a Friday, where like you don't want to go to school and it's the last day of school for the week, to watch Star Wars. So
I wish there was a way to hide Baby Yoda from all of my
social. It's amazing.
I'm so tired of seeing Baby Yoda.
I love Baby Yoda.
On Twitter, you can put in like a keyword that it will mute to where.
Yeah.
So I have Trump as a keyword, so I don't ever have to see anything on Twitter that says the word Trump, and that's amazing.
Yeah.
I wish I could do the same with pictures of Baby Yoda because I'm so tired of seeing it.
Well, okay, are we going to do wrestling now?
Yeah, so this year we went to 11 wrestling shows. Let's see. Oh, hold on. To throw back to, I said my favorite concert moment there a minute ago.
This
I also
is never gonna end.
I know. We have a lot of your end stuff to talk about. I just wanted to mention that this year in 2019, I saw 27 different bands live.
Freaking crazy.
I'm going to just go through it real quick. Crooked Rook, the Iron Maidens, who is a all-female Iron Maiden cover band. The New Machine, Lazy Butt Destroyer, since we're on Howdy Radio, I can't say that middle word. Green Jello, Leggy, Ten Band, Pink Droid.
I'm guessing Ten Band is Pearl Jam.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of cover bands on my list this year.
I wish I would have gone to Pink Floyd with you.
Yeah, you should have.
Yeah.
Pink Droid, Matt Talbot, who is the singer of Hum, Buckethead, Jason Bonham, Peter Frampton, Toy Box Killer, Psycho Stick, The Raven Age, Iron Maiden. I finally got to see Iron Maiden this year. That was very cool. Avenged Sevenfold, Slipknot, Alice in Chains, Korn, Heavy Temple, Electric Citizen, Mothership, The Skull, Corrosion of Conformity, and Tool. Oh, and Leggy again. So technically I only saw 26 bands because I have Leggy on there twice. And if I could real quick also add on, if you would hand me that album on the top there.
Yes.
Yep. My album cover of the year award goes to the band.
Is that at
Leggy? They are. They were on my playlist of songs. They were not on my playlist. They're on my top 10 albums, is what I'm thinking. Anyway, this gets album cover of the year. What is going on here is this is a picture taken in a place called Forest Fair Mall. Have we discussed that on the show before? The whole dead mall thing.
Yes, we have.
So that
meeting. Don't talk about it again.
Yeah. So this is my favorite dead mall in the world that is here in Cincinnati.
And also on
and
the
it's
back.
The mall I've been going to since I've been a little kid.
Standing on the front.
So they did their photo shoot for their album inside Forest Fair Mall, and I just think that is the coolest thing in the world.
Are they from Cincinnati?
Yeah, they're a Cincinnati band. They live in Northside. They tour all over the place, but
Cincinnati.
They live in Cincinnati. All three of them do.
Alrighty.
So that's the album cover of the year. Not Tool's cool looking album cover, nothing like that. Just a stupid, picture taken in a stupid mall.
Stupid eyeballs.
That's my album cover of the year. It's Leggy.
What my else? My album of the year is the Cockroach on Claypool Lane Delirium.
Yeah, that, they were talking about that last night when that was brought up. Kyle's like, what a cool album cover. Yeah. And it for sure.
So I realized it's like that because the last album was some Cockroach thing, which I haven't listened to the other album.
I've listened to it a couple times, but boy, it is not as good as this one. All right, so we wanted to throw this in this year. This is new for us this year. We're going to tell you what our top three wrestling shows of the year is, because this year we got super into wrestling here recently, and we've made it a point. You know, my concert list is lower this year because I went to more wrestling shows, and that's perfectly fine.
I think next year we have to go to wrestling shows that we know that we will like. So, like, Rockstar, and that's kind of it. Like, Rockstar and AEW and NXT. Those are the three.
But I like going to LSC because my friend wrestles for him, and Dave likes to take his kid, and it's
LSC
still a fun.
LSC was not good, though, that
time. No, I know that. I'm well aware of that. Like, but that still doesn't mean I don't enjoy going.
Though. I don't like going to a wrestling show, and the second I sit down, I'm just tired. I don't like that. Mm-hmm. I'm not like that in Rockstar.
I'll leave you at home next time I go to LSC, then. All right, so we went to 11 wrestling shows this year, which is hands down the most amount of wrestling shows I've gone to in a single year. I'll read down this list real quick, too. We went to Rockstar Pro, which is out of Dayton, Ohio. We went to NXT in Columbus. We went to an Impact and Rockstar co-show. I don't know what the word split. They were both there. We went to LSC, which is Legends of the Squared Circle. One of my customers at work that I make lunch for all the time is a wrestler for them, so it's fun to go see him wrestle. We saw Rockstar Pro again. We saw LSC again. The biggest one of the year was Lane and I drove to Chicago for AEW's big pay-per-view, All Out. That was our first AEW pay-per-view that we had attended, because the year before that was All In, but that was not AEW. Yeah. So that was our first AEW event at all, but first pay-per-view especially. And then we saw NWF, Northern Wrestling Federation, which is another local Cincinnati. That is the worst out of all of them, NWF.
Yes, that's the super redneck one where they botch every single move in existence.
Yes, and then we went to AEW's weekly TV show, Dynamite. We drove to Indianapolis for that.
Yeah.
And that was fun because it was all four of us and Taggart. That was the first wrestling show that was a big one like that the whole family went to.
Especially
so that was
Tyler.
Super
cool. Tyler has never, besides SmackDown in like 2013 or whatever.
And then the last one we went to was another Rockstar Pro show. It was called Extreme Thanksgiving, which had some ECW wrestlers there, Shane Douglas, the Sandman, and Justin Credible. So those were all the wrestling shows we went to this year. So real quick, I just wanted to pick what our top three was. I think that'll be pretty easy to figure out.
My top three were my third one is Rockstar, which was the dog collar one.
So that was not the ECW one.
Yeah, I think the one before that.
Correct.
So that had a couple of extreme matches and a toy box match, which was very, very interesting. And there was a Guitar Hero guitar and drums. So
the highlight of this show that you're talking about, my old buddy from, what was the name of the podcast that me and Dave did?
Square 2.
We went to this show in Dayton at Rockstar, and he took his kid who loves wrestling, but he's only 5 years old, so he's still
a
little guy.
And he's obsessed with Brock Lesnar, so sadly.
He's a WWE guy, and that's all right. But so they had this crazy hardcore match that night that we went, and they got out of
it. It was called a dog collar death match is what it was.
Yep. And they left the ring, and they were fighting all over. This place is small. There's only like maybe 50 to 100 people probably there. Not a lot of people, but they were fighting out in the crowd. Literally the chair that Lane was sitting in, he couldn't sit back down in because it got covered with wrestler's blood.
Yep. I wanted to take it. That would be so funny. Yeah.
So
I could walk out with that chair.
The highlight, though, was Dave's kid, who's 5, having these gigantic monster of wrestlers, you know, 2 inches in front of his face, bleeding all over the place. He starts crying. He's scared to death. And the line that is now infamous is, he said, "I don't want to die." He was like literally worried that he was going to die because everything went so crazy. So that was definitely a good moment.
Yes.
So that's your number three. My number three is also Rockstar, but not that show. It was the one that we just went to a week or two ago with the ECW people, because I'm lifelong diehard ECW. So I got to meet and see Shane Douglas, the Sandman, and Justin Credible. So that was very cool. I got a picture with Sandman and Shane Douglas. Yeah. I kind of regret not getting Justin Credible in it now. I should have, but whatever. It was cool. I mean, I didn't expect any of those three guys to come out and like have some great five-star match or anything like that. Shane Douglas was super nice. He came down to the ring and like literally shook everybody's hand that was in the first row, which included us, and that was very nice. And he was very nice when we met him. He was.
And was he the one that said the action that the Cross Jackson was like super good? Was that him or that Shane Douglas?
That was just incredible. That was incredible. I think. Yeah. So Sandman wrestled in the main event, and he literally was on his phone.
I'll find it pretty quickly.
I've never seen a wrestler stand in the corner up against the turnbuckles on his cell phone before. Sandman could not have cared less that he was at this show. I posted this on Reddit too.
You can kind of see he was on his phone. He's just sitting on his phone.
So, I mean, kind of disappointing, but I mean, let's be honest. Sandman never knew how to wrestle in the first place. That wasn't what got him over.
Also, a video.
See, we should have these things loaded up into OBS. But.
So he's right next to Dad.
Yeah.
And he poured it into the guy's mouth. I wanted him to pour it into Dad's mouth, but that didn't happen.
That's all right. That was a really cool video. But man, hearing the ECW chant like that, everybody screaming at that felt so
and
good.
And screaming at Enter Sandman.
Yeah, God, that was such a cool moment, because I just loved ECW so much, and it was the feeling that made ECW so good, and that was kind of a replicate of that I hadn't felt in a long time. So that was super, super cool to me. Your number two show of the year
was Dynamite.
I think our number two and number one are the same. So our number two is AEW Dynamite. We drove to Indianapolis. Liz ran into a car in front of us while we were on our way there, but everybody was okay.
Jesus Christ.
Time to switch the laundry. Sorry.
Have we really been doing this for that long?
Yes.
Jesus Christ.
So that's our number two. It was Indianapolis TV show. It was cool to see a TV a live TV show.
Yeah.
It was super fun. It was fun that all five of us were there. It was cool that we had a big group of us.
Mama almost passed out because of John Moxley.
Yep. I think everybody had a real good time chanting everything. It was a really good show. We got lucky with a really good card. So that was definitely a good one. It was fun driving to Indianapolis, going to a new place that we had never been before. Very cool. And number one is
All Out.
All Out in Chicago, of course. That was awesome. We got to see Chris Jericho crowned as the very first AEW champion. We got to meet Colt Cabana before the show.
Not just we got to see Chris Jericho crowned as a champion.
Mm-hmm.
We got to see the first AEW title match.
The very first.
Of all time. And I hate that I keep like semi-flexing on it.
But that's awesome.
We
that's
saw that,
mm-hmm.
and we also saw the first.
Yeah.
We saw the very first thing with All In. And then the next year, we saw the very first title match. And I remember we met a guy there who was also going to Washington, D.C. for the first live show.
TV show, yeah.
So he was going to see the first AEW World Championship match and also the first Women's Championship match. The Penny title.
And he went to Vegas, that guy did.
Yeah,
he went to Double or Nothing. So he was at their very first pay-per-view also. We were at their second pay-per-view. All Out
I wonder
was
if
their
he went
second
to Full
pay-per-view.
Gear.
I don't know.
Dude, I wish I would've. Do you hear that like they're getting investigated for that match?
Yes.
So stupid. And they're also getting sued by WWE. Yeah. Neither of those things are going to pass, but still.
All right, so it was a cool year for wrestling. I'm glad we went to so many shows. Hopefully we can catch some awesome ones. Hopefully AEW will come back around here at some point, and we'll get to go to that.
Well, they're going to Cleveland.
I forgot about Cleveland, yeah. I bet the one that they announce after Cleveland will be Detroit.
Dude, we can just go to all of them.
I would love to.
Dude.
Okay, let's get to the main event here. That's all of our other stuff. We've got a lot of albums to go through. So, all right, can I read down? No, I guess I won't, because I kind of wanted to read off my 18 albums that I added to the list this year, but I guess that's not that necessary. I'll just say the 10 of them.
Okay.
All right, starting at 10 and working our way down. This is our top albums of 2019. That's you should check out every single thing that we mentioned here because obviously we like it a lot.
Yep.
What's your number 10?
My number 10 is Extreme Power Metal by Dragon Force.
Okay.
So remember.
Remember, I like to play guitar here.
No, remember, I only have 10 albums. That's why it's at the bottom.
Okay.
I listened to the album.
You've added it to our car playlist.
I have because there are a couple songs that are really good, but there are a couple songs that are really bad that kind of takes the album down. And I mainly like it because of Guitar Hero.
Yeah, I understand.
Also, Dragon Force was basically made by Guitar Hero.
Yeah.
So you gotta give them credit for that.
I just think it's amazing that they can play 5 million notes within 30 seconds, but the song be boring.
But it still
amazes me that they are able to pull that off. But you gotta think
that Herman Lee, their lead guitarist, that guy's fingers, you think your fingers, you don't feel anything. That guy's fingers has he can't move his fingers.
I am not denying the talent that it takes to do what they're doing. I'm a guitar player. Yeah. I understand how hard it is to do what they're doing. But that's what blows me away from it is that somehow it's boring. It's crazy to me.
Yeah.
My number 10 for the year was Monolord, No Comfort. I think Monolord, last time they released an album, I'm pretty sure they were number one album of the year. I think that happened a couple years ago. But this one, it's all right.
Okay.
Nothing super good on this one.
Yeah, let's try to go through this a little bit faster.
Yep. So that's my number 10. I don't have a whole lot to say about that.
Do you have 10?
Yeah.
Wait, that's not your number one?
These are my number 10 that I'm reading through right here.
Oh, okay. How confused. I saw... Oh, those are your songs, right? What? No.
Go.
Oh, okay. I looked at your phone, and I saw Tool, and I saw that you were able
spoiler
to
spoiler alert!
Up. Whatever. It's not a spoiler alert. We
Monolord,
know what's going to be...
No Comfort is my number 10.
Okay.
Number 9 for you is...
Confessions of a Dangerous Mind, Logic.
Alright.
Yeah, so...
Why is Logic so far down on your list when everything is... When everything Logic is your favorite song?
So, the other Logic album was pretty high up. This Logic album just wasn't good.
There was two Logic albums in 2019?
Yeah.
Oh.
There was the Supermarket one, and then there was Confessions of a Dangerous Mind. Confessions of a Dangerous Mind was just, again, boring.
Okay.
So, yeah.
My number 9 for the year is The Well. Death and Consolation was the name of the album. They are... like Monolord, they're on Writing Easy Record. No, Monolord's not on Writing Easy anymore. They got promoted to a big label.
Which is?
Yep. I don't remember. Nuclear Blast, maybe?
Never heard of it.
Oh, crap. I don't remember.
Doesn't that mean that they're on Spotify now? Because
they've always been on Spotify.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So The Well, they're one of the doom rock bands. I like them. This album was a good album.
Yeah. Okay, my number 8 is Blood Harmony by Phineas, which is Billie Eilish's brother, so that's how I found him. It's like a 32-minute long album. It's like 5 songs, but it's really good. I like it a lot. That's more pop than her. It's a lot more like love and that kind of stuff, but it's really good. I like it a lot.
All right. My number 8 is The Flaming Lips. King's Mouth is the name of the album.
Flaming Lips had a new album?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know that?
It's cool.
I was on a Flaming Lips kick. How did I not know this?
Yeah, it's a good one. Because I really haven't liked anything the Flaming Lips have done in about the last decade or so. They really haven't put out much good stuff. They started getting super experimental, and it wasn't working for me. But this one, it's cool. It tells a story throughout the whole album. It has a narrator voice that talks about what's going on in the story, and I like it a lot.
Yeah.
So that was number 8.
Okay. My number 7 is the Teal album.
That's my number 7. No way.
Weezer.
Never in a million years would I expect a Weezer album to be on my end of the year top 10 list.
Especially for it to both be number 7.
But here we are, man. Funny. I credit this one to Smoothie. Smoothie was the one that said, you gotta check this album. This is the one with all the cover songs.
On Unknown Pod, I'm pretty sure. I haven't actually listened to any of the Unknown Pods. I just hear you talking about it.
Yeah.
But one of the songs he put on there was either Africa or Take On Me.
Yeah.
And you were like, oh, this is Weezer. And he's already, like, oh, yeah, you did a cover album. And then
I think it was Take On Me because I had already heard Africa. Everybody had heard their cover of Africa.
Well,
I was very indifferent to that one. I didn't really care about that. I still don't really care about that one. That's probably my least favorite song on this album. But then once I checked the rest of it out, I love it. Like, they do such a good job.
The dumb thing was when we had our end of the year party and then Aiden was here. He's like, oh, this is so stupid. It's just a bunch of cover songs. It sounds so dumb.
Yeah.
But it's not. But he listens to the same exact music we do. He listens to, like, all that 90s, like...
Yeah.
He listens to the same exact stuff that we do. But...
Yeah, he wasn't into that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Weezer TLI album. That's cool that it was both on our number 7. Yeah. I like that. All right.
All right. My number 6 is The Big Day by Chance the Rapper.
All right.
So I just now... Not just now. Maybe a month or so ago... When Chance the Rapper was on SNL, he hosted and was a musical. And I was just like, hey, maybe I'll check him out. He sounds pretty cool. And I checked him out. And originally I was like, oh, I don't like him. But because he's different, like, he has more, like, breathe spaciness kind of rap. So it wasn't the same kind of thing I was used to. But I actually like it now that, like, I've listened to it a lot more.
Okay.
What about yours?
My next one on the list is Karen O and Danger Mouse collab album called Lux Prima. Karen O is the singer of the Yeah Yeah Yeahs, and this is her solo album produced by...
What song would I know by them? I've heard that name before.
What, Yeah Yeah Yeahs?
Yeah.
They were on Guitar Hero. They were on... Yeah. They had Maps on Guitar Hero.
That's what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I listen to Yeah Yeah Yeahs a lot.
I just heard that name, and I knew that there was a Guitar Hero song. I just couldn't say which one.
Yep. So that's that one's mine.
Alrighty. Are we on 5? Correct? Yes, 5.
Did you give your 6?
Yes. Okay. That was Chance the Rapper. My number 5 is Hollywood's Bleeding by Post Malone.
Okay.
That's another one that is a little bit shocking. Because this was one that I was super excited for. And it was good, but there were better albums than it. So, like, that's always the dumb thing. Like, putting it into a list, you think that a number 5 album was okay. But it was a really good album. Yeah. It just...
There's other ones that are better.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
All right, my number 5 was the album that one of my top 3 songs came off of, and that's the Hannah album called... I don't even know how to say it, honestly.
What is it?
It's Hannah Dreel? Dreel? I'm not sure. I don't know.
Maybe.
So anyway, just go on Spotify and search Hannah, and it's the new album. That is my number 5 album of the year.
Okay. My number 4 is The Search by NF. So this is another one that I was really excited for that we've been waiting for a little while for. It's just, it's a long one. I think it's like an hour and 12 minutes. It's nothing.
Oh, good.
Nothing compared to, isn't that about the same time The Tool is?
Yeah, right around in there. Yeah.
Except all the songs are 15 and a half minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I was pretty excited for it. And one of Tyler's friends is one of the ones I talked to her about it a lot. And I remember when the singles were coming out, we were like talking like, do we like this? Do we not like this? Like back and forth about it.
Gotcha.
So yeah, what's your number 4?
My number 4 is probably the least Brandon-ish album on my list. And the name of the artist is FKA Twigs, and the name of the album is Magdalene.
Okay, it sounds like EDM. That's what it sounds like.
I think this falls under that sad pop genre.
Okay.
Is this.
All like the numbers and letters or whatever you just said, it sounds like EDM is what it sounded like.
I gotcha. No, it is not that. Her singing is like, she's such a good singer. Her voice is incredible. It's almost like opera the way like she sings it. But then she also, like, I mean, I've never seen her in concert or anything, but like she dances and like there's choreography and like that usually doesn't exist in music that I listen to.
Yeah.
But for some reason it's super artsy is what it is. And I like artsy kind of crap. So that's why I've always really liked FKA. Like she performed on the MTV VMAs this year.
Okay.
And like there is no other artist that I listen to that is still performing on the VMAs nowadays.
Yeah.
So that shows like it's not in my normal wheelhouse for this. But I like her a lot.
So my number 3 is Supermarket by Logic, the other Logic album. This is the one that's kind of sad. But there's also happy parts about it, but it's mainly a sad rap album.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, that's That's all I really have to say about that one.
All right. So we're on number two, number three.
Number two. Number three. Three, yes.
All right, so here's our top three albums of 2019.
We done yet.
Almost.
Jesus Christ.
Number three for me is the album that won my album cover of the year award is Leggy, Let Me Know Your Moon is the name of the album. They are, there's two women and a guy in the band. The guy's the drummer, girl bass player, girl singer and guitarist.
Sounds like a 90s... It sounds like a 90s family TV show is what that just sounded like.
Okay.
Two girls and one guy are in a band. One's a bass player.
That does
sound. Wacky thing will happen next? Yep.
So I like these people a lot. They're local, so I can go see them pretty often. They're kind of punk rock is what they are. Like, all their songs are like 3 minutes tops. They're almost feminist, I would say, in a lot of their lyrics that they have.
Kind of like St. Vincent.
Yeah, kind of like St. Vincent. Yeah, I like them a lot. Yeah. They do a really really good show. A lot of great energy, and it's just a good time. So, yep.
Alrighty.
That's my number three.
Number two is.
Did you say number three?
Yes.
Okay.
Number three was Supermarket.
Got it.
So my number two is When We All Fall Asleep, Where Do We Go, by Billie Eilish.
Okay.
So, this came out in I think March. And I listened to it over the summer, and I just, because we got our new TV, and we got the big
old sound bar,
the subwoofer, and this is the best music to listen to for this, because her voice is just bass boosted beyond, and it is so amazing. Right.
It's the exact opposite. I love just
cranking up the speaker and just
It's the exact opposite
it.
When you try to listen to it in our minivan.
Yeah.
And then you turn it on the minivan, and the speakers just go, and it sounds terrible.
But yeah, that was one that, it's kind of funny, because it's literally known as, like, 13-year-old depressed girl pop.
Yeah, but I mean, everybody likes her. She's the hottest thing in the world right now,
Was it Smoothie that told you about her?
Aaron added it to an unknown pod playlist a while back.
Smoothie.
He added that, I don't know the name
Ocean
of the song.
Eyes, is what I'm guessing.
Something in the one life, something. Find Me in the Club.
No idea.
Okay.
Might be another single I do not know of.
That was my introduction to her.
Yeah.
Was from Aaron on the Unknown Pod.
Yeah. Alrighty. Your number two.
The Lennon Claypool Delirium, South of Reality is my number two. Fantastic album. Start to finish. It's very Beatles-ish. Les Claypool does some amazing things on bass on that album, of course.
And with backup vocals. That's one of my favorite things is the...
They sound so great
Lennon
together.
Speaking and then like a millisecond after it's Claypool speaking like right beneath them.
Yeah. We watched maybe it was a KEXP performance or something
from them. It was a Colbert performance. KEXP with the one with the pedals.
Yeah. I'm a big guitar nerd and I've got like five guitar pedals sitting behind me. Les Claypool's pedal board for this band. I mean, I have never seen
it. Layers.
It had layers. It was like three levels of pedals.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, look at that. And that's the most pedals I've ever seen sitting in front of a single person ever. And it's cool because they make a lot of cool noises.
Yeah. So, my number one, South of Reality by Claypool and Dylan.
Yeah, that's cool that ended up being your number one.
That's
something that, like, you have no background there. Like, you have no. You're not a Primus fan, right?
No.
Have you ever listened to Primus? Do you know anything about Primus?
I've known of them because of Guitar Hero.
Okay.
I know the...
Jerry Was a Race Car
that's
Driver.
That's the one song I know. I might know more if you played it, but that's the one thing that comes to my mind.
Right on. Yeah, that was really, really good album.
Yeah. It's one of the things where it doesn't matter what mood you're in, you can listen to, because it has different moods in it. And the one song, Boriska, always sound from the beginning, I thought it was Forrest Gump, because how the song goes, it sounds like it could be Forrest Gump, and how he says it sounds like Forrest Gump.
Scott said that the beginning of Blood and Rockets to him sounds a lot like Eminem Lose Yourself, and I agree with him. It does, for sure.
It's just a steady beat. That's probably why.
Yeah, it definitely does have that sound to it, though.
Talking about space in the background.
I love the Beatles, and this album has a really good Beatles feel to it.
Yeah.
It's like a modern 2019 and then Beatles album almost.
The actual South of Reality song is one of my favorites. And it sounds like the Teen Titans theme song. And it's weird.
All right.
it's weird. And it's very like meadow, like stoner-ish, and I like it. So
yeah, the whole album's pretty trippy, that's for sure. All right, my number one album, zero surprise, Tool, Fear,
Whoa,
Inoculum.
That's
I
crazy.
Would hold up the CD, but it's kind of over there, and that's all right, whatever. I have the CD.
You just hear it making noise in the back.
Yeah, it still makes noise, and it's still got a little video screen. It might
it
need
just
charged
like, it
by
just, like,
now.
It just, like, opens
know.
Itself and starts making random noises.
Yeah, so it was a very, very, very long wait for a new Tool album, and that was kind of what was cool about this year, is that we got a new Tool album and Shenmue 3 in the same year, and that is something that
that's
I'll always be able to remember.
And that's all that you have talked about.
That's
besides,
all
besides
anybody
Fire
in my
Blow,
life has heard.
That's
is,
all that you have talked about.
Yep. But I love the Tool album. It did not disappoint me at all. I love every second of it. I love every note of it. It's 10 out of 10. Perfect. I love it. Very much so.
Yep.
Lane hates it.
I don't hate it. I just don't like listening to it.
Yeah. I listen to it a lot. I mean, I understand somebody getting tired of it, but
yeah.
I guess that's all.
I guess so.
I feel like that was kind of anticlimactic, being like, oh yeah, Tool.
Well, mine was South of Reality, which was okay.
All right. Yeah. I think we've talked long enough
and
here.
I'm tired, and then I gotta go to Kings Island for this today.
The only thing that I forgot to mention with our top three songs, I had my top three songs figured out like 4 or 5 days ago, maybe. And within that amount of time, Greg Dooley of the Afghan Whigs announced his very first solo album and released the lead single off of that. And I've listened to it probably 20 times, and it is so good. So, in all honesty, that should be on my top three songs of the year. But the album doesn't come out till February, so it'll be more of a 2020 kind of thing. But the single did come out this year.
That's why there was one song on NF's album where a single came out last year, but the album came out this year in freaking October, so it took like a year for
sounds
the
like Tame Impala.
Yeah, well, Tame Impala, okay, I think that'll probably be album of the year for next year. It's the new Tame Impala album.
Potentially.
Yeah.
Hopefully. That was
especially with how Currents was. If it lives up to that kind of hype, then yeah.
That was one that when I said I kind of threw 8 albums pretty quickly on a best of the decade list, Tame Impala Currents is definitely
I think that
on that list.
And Like Clockwork are kind of close to me, but I think Like Clockwork will still beat that.
Yeah, for sure for me.
Yeah.
I think that'd be a fun thing to do if we can get all of the decade stuff figured out and do another one of these episodes about the best of the decade, because, we don't get a chance to do that very often.
Actually have an actual list for games. I know that.
We'll try to come up with that over the next couple of weeks and get that going, but we should probably wrap this up. I'm glad we were able to do this today.
Yeah.
I did 2 podcasts this weekend, last night and today, and they were both the 2019 episodes, and they were both extremely too long.
Yeah, I could tell. You never went to bed.
Oh, God. We were on until like 2:30 in the morning last night or something like that.
Yeah.
It was way too late, but we covered a lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
So, we'll try to be back in the next
couple weeks. So, go watch
that
for 2.5 hours.
Yeah, now that you're done with this, go watch that.
Well, maybe 3 hours. You can watch Endgame on the side, and then it'll be done at the same time.
Right. So, hooray 2019. Those were all of our favorite things. Check out, I don't even know if my websites work anymore, howdyinc.com.
The first thing I heard somebody say on your podcast last night was, do we have a website?
Apparently, the unknownpod.com does not work anymore, and I'm not 100% sure why, but I think I know why, but whatever, who cares?
Yeah,
I never
you didn't
do
pay for it.
No, I did pay for it. Yeah. I think it's because of the comment bots that I'm not keeping up with. They suspended my account again.
Oh. Wait, what? How do comment bots suspend your account?
We'll get to that.
Okay.
Go to howdyinc.com. Follow at howdyinc on the Twitter. That's good enough.
Follow
Lane on
Twitch at Lane1113. Follow me on Instagram at LanyeEast1113. And on Twitter at Lane_Wiley.
And I am Captain Howdy 1027 on everything. We got a Howdy Inc. Discord that we're working on getting together. And I don't know if that'll go anywhere or serve any purpose.
Add me on Discord as Plastic Guitar Man.
That's your name?
Sorry, Plastic Guitar Guy.
That's your name?
And then Numbers.
Okay.
What's your name? Captain Honey 1027?
Yeah.
Change it. Make it
Why?
Better.
Why?
That's... Make it because you can change it whenever you want. At one point, it was Thanos, Seeker of Stones, and it was a picture of Thanos in the shower. It's a, you can do everything.
I'm going to stick with Captain Howdy 1027. I have Captain Howdy tattooed on my body. I don't think I have much of a choice. I have to continue to use that screen name.
I changed my stuff from Meta 316 to... I've changed everything to Lane because I just like it better. I like... because mainly because it's my Twitch. Everything's then connected.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
All right, so go do all those things. And thanks for listening and... Yeah. Have a good Christmas if we don't talk to you before then, but I hope we
Maybe.
Do.
Yeah.
Cool. All right.
Nope.
Howdy.com. See you, everybody.
Peace.